what the devil doesn't want you to know. What the devil doesn't want you to know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide in this message. Lord, thank you for these people. I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, guide us. I don't know how you want to use us in our different places of life and our different walks of life. But Lord, I do know that you want to use us. We are here by your grace to give you praise, to give you glory, to spread the gospel, to be a testimony. I pray that your people would be sharpened up, that we would be sharpened up a little bit this day because of what we cover. In your word, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. These days, humanly speaking, are only going to get worse. Oh, Pastor, you're talking negative. No, I'm not talking negative. But there's a lot going on. There's a lot of hate, isn't there? There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of people that are manipulating, not the least of which is a fellow by the name of George Soros. By the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He took his $18 billion and put it in his outreach that he's got with the, not the Tides Foundation, but the border, oh, I forget the name of it. I wanted to write it down and I didn't. Things are going to be happening. They're going to accelerate. But you know what? Heavenly speaking, our God rules over all. Open society. The voice from above. Thank you. No, but that's true. The open society. But there's something more above. Again, it's our God and he rules over all. Psalm 11:4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne. I'm sorry, you're going to have to forgive me. I've got my printing high, you know, bigger a little bit. I'm trying to read this pretty well. I'm not going to do what Peter suggested. He suggested wearing a thing where I've got the notes right here. We're not going to do that. And I'm trying to not walk around closing one eye, although it gets interesting when you do that. By the way, when I was out on visitation yesterday, wound up talking to a man. He didn't have one eye. I thought, Lord, thank you. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Our God is ruling from above. Psalm 103:19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. You know, when I was teaching, I'd never really heard of this. Honestly, I'd never really heard of this all that much. But I was teaching in high school. All of a sudden, I really heard about a guy by the name of Mr. Rogers. Come on, it's confession time. How many of you ever watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Raise your hand. Watch this. Look around. This is going to be great. How many of you watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as an adult? Thank you. Okay, there we go. All right. But you know something, in all seriousness, this was interesting. He knew what was going on later on in the world and such, and I honestly believe he had a heart for children. You know what he told children to do? I just read this recently, that last week or the week before. He told children on his program, if you watch the news and there's something that happens that you don't like, something that's really bad, somebody's done something bad, something like that, he said, watch the helpers. Watch the helpers. Watch the police that come in to help. Watch the EMTs. Watch the firefighters that come in to help. And I thought, you know what? That's pretty good. We're going to continue to hear a lot of bad news. You know what we do? We watch what Jesus is doing. We watch what God is doing. We watch the one that is ruling from on high. Amen? I love that. I love that. We're talking about the confident Christian life. But there is someone that doesn't want us to live that confident Christian life, and he's the wicked one. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to trace through the scripture. We're going to trace through the Bible and see, hey, that you can live, that we can live the confident Christian life God has given us in spite of that one enemy that we have. Is it really good to live that life? I mean, should we really seek it? And why should we care when it comes to living Christ? Let's go back to what we looked at first a little bit. First of all, we looked at Paul's words to Timothy. Remember, Paul, in writing to Timothy, gave a promise of rest. Not rest, rest in the work. The Word of God also told us in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Psalm 23, 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Also talked about obedience. The disciples did that as well in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John answered those that were demanding, hey, where did you get your authority for this? In verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, by the way, you stop and you consider, even your Bible reading this morning, what did you see? What did you hear? Or were you truly listening? We're going to be talking a little bit more about Zacchaeus later on, but remember we looked at him? After he got saved, he said this, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Again, we'll be talking about that later on. But then there was also hope. Again, this is what you find in living the confident Christian life. Psalm 94, 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Hey, how many of you read a promise this last week in your devotions that you thought, praise God, that's great. Did you read one? How many of you are looking for the promises? Folks, listen. It's the promises of God that the Lord has built his universe around, this universe around. You've got to stop and you've got to consider. The promises of God will take you through, not the promises of man. Not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, or anybody else's neighborhood for that matter. It's the promises of God, the hope that we have in him. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Bill Borden. Remember, we talked about him when he would speak to teenagers. He would challenge them with this thought, and there was a man of God that gave this to him. He would ask the young people, are you drifting or are you steering? Are you drifting or are you steering? There's a lot that we can wind up drifting in because quite honestly, there are mechanisms that are in life that make us go certain ways. Okay, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to go home. I got to do this. I've got to do that. We even have vehicles now. If you start drifting out of the lane, it beeps at you. Something vibrates. You've got to get back to the middle of the lane. How many of you own a vehicle like that now? Aha! Praise God, Roger Whiteside. The roads are going to be a little bit safer now. Amen, that's right. But seriously, you know, we stop and we consider, okay, where have I drifted in my life? In other words, not listened not only to the promises of God, but to the commands of God. These are things to consider. Are you drifting or are you steering? Because they have everything to do with living the confident Christian life. We looked at 2 Kings chapter 7. Remember the four lepers. Why sit we here until we die? There are people that are kind of kicking back, as it were, in life, not really listening, once again, to the commands of God. And they're biding time until they die. Now, I don't like to dwell on that. That's not fun. You know, how many of you have been to go see Bob Heyer? where he's at over at Whitney Oaks. Okay, some of you have been. You know, you go over there, and I praise God. I want to see Bob back here. I want to so bad. But there's a lot of people, you look at them, and you think, they'll never come out of here, this place. That's kind of tough to see, isn't it? That's kind of tough to see. By the way, Larry Gilbert, they've moved him over here to the Kaiser here now. He's on dialysis a little bit, but his body's starting to work back a little bit more. I can't wait to see Larry here. By the way, Larry wants to be here for the two-minute warning. We need to pray that he makes it here. We really need to. But there are people that you see, and it's like, you know what? I don't see them coming out of here. Life is basically over. I remember when I turned 60. How many of you have already turned 60? Okay. How many of you, those years are just going by a little too fast right now? Hey, why sit we here until we die? Why not be active for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not, by God's grace, be doing His will? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what we desire if we are listening to Him. So, this is what I want to do. I want us to stop and consider, all right, with what we have heard so far, what is it that Satan wants to keep us from? What is it that the wicked one is trying to get us drawn away from? Once again, kicking back, once again, drifting. I want you to see, I believe there are three things that we need to watch out for. Number one, I believe Satan doesn't want us to get the reality of the confident Christian life. I want you to go back to 2 Timothy, where we were before. I was alluding to this earlier. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. A familiar passage, but there's a reason why it's familiar. The Apostle Paul says in verse 12, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Was the Apostle Paul the only one that had that attitude? I hope and pray that you're, again, challenged with this, but I want you to know, listen, this is a reality that we can all, by God's grace, possess, not by our power, but by His. Go to a familiar passage. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Somebody, real quick. What is Hebrews chapter 11 known for? It's the what? Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, this is what you read. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then Paul here immediately goes into speaking about those who exercise faith in their life. They didn't just sit back while they died. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then we read immediately, faith, Abel. And then we go on. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. Now look up this way. What can those three words tell us? By faith, and then we give the name of the individual. What can they tell us? There was a confidence there, right? There was a confidence there, but it wasn't something that was drummed up inside the flesh. Can I ask you something? And I talked to ask the teenagers this morning. Please, hear me out. How many of you had to do something by faith this last week? In other words, you trusted God to carry you through. I don't care I don't care how big or small you might think it was. But it was something that you know that God had you do. It was something, be it routine or something special. Now we've got to hear this out. Because if we don't, we might as well sit back until we die. Because the Christian life is built on faith. And remember, faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is primarily thinking. This is what God said, therefore I can trust Him, therefore I'm on the move. Think about it. By faith, Abel, what did he do? He gave a sacrifice, not like his brother. His brother, he was busy with his hands. Abel was busy with his heart. See, hey, by faith, Abraham went, not knowing whithersoever he went. He didn't have GPS. No, it was more than that. He didn't have God telling him why he was going. He just said, I want you to go. And on and on and on, till finally the writer says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell me of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's exactly the way it is with the church. And it's not that you're just the church back in the first century. It's the church of the 21st century. Listen, folks. Look, it doesn't take much faith to come in and sit in a chair. Because then, after an hour, I can get out of the chair, and I go home and I'll sit in another chair. And then in another chair. Then maybe go to work and sit in that chair too. What takes faith is coming out of the chair. After I've heard what I'm in the chair, while I was in the chair, and realizing God has spoken to me. By faith, these people were spoken to and they acted. They had a neighbor, they had a friend, they had someone that they were burdened with, they had a situation. They had a hole in their heart. Hey, listen, they had a name on their heart. And they prayed. They fasted. They talked. They interceded in prayer. You see where I'm getting at? Now go to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. People have talked about that, meaning that, you know, these people are watching us. I don't think that's really talking what that's talking about. I believe what that means is this: we have immersed ourselves in all these names, and found, as it were, as we have read through the scripture, we see these people, as it were, these people of faith. They walked, and then Paul, who I believe was the writer of Hebrews, says, hey, listen, we're foreseeing, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These people are witness to the faith that they put in Christ, and that faith counted. It drove them, and guess what? It worked, because God worked, because God called. What does he say? Let us lay aside every weight. Let me ask you something. What's the weight in your life that keeps you from walking by faith? What's the weight? The weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I went to a small Christian school. I mean, it was bigger than some that I know, but it wasn't that big of a Christian school. We had a rule in our high school. If you played baseball, which I did, you also were automatically on the track team. Now, you know, playing baseball was a lot of fun. You know, you're running the bases and all that, you know, doing that stuff, playing outfield. I was a pitcher. My name was Ragarm Rogers. This is no joke. I think I might have told this story before, but I've got to tell this. Years ago, we got a phone call here at the church. My wife was talking to this person that called, And I think the conversations when some it was a business call. And he said, "You're Faith Baptist, right?" "Yeah." Are you related by any chance to the Faith Baptist that is down in Canoga Park?" She says, "Yeah. In fact, my husband was down there." Said, "We used to play them in baseball back in the late 60s. They had a guy that was a wild pitcher. We were all terrified of him." The legend lives. This is great. But anyway, so you know, we're automatically on the track team. So you go out for what you think, you know, this is what you need to do. So I thought, well, I'm in pretty decent shape. Okay, you know, this is fine. I'll run the 440. How many of you have ever ran the 440? Okay. How many of you ever passed out doing the 440? So I start running, and I'm running third, and then I'm running fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. I got around the final turn, and those of you that have run, you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, everything starts closing in. I was not in shape for this race. In fact, it got to the point where I thought I was going to almost pass out. Instead, I did something else, and I won't tell you what that was, but it was over on the side where nobody could see. But listen, I wasn't ready for the race. You see, we hear about living the confident Christian life. We read what Paul said in Romans 12 about running the race. And we think that, hey, okay, you know, when it comes about, no problem, I can take it. Listen, brethren, sistren, we need to prepare for the race. That's why you're here. We either do one of two things. We either sit here till we die, or we run the race. We live the confident Christian life. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I think I'm going to be asking that doctor sooner rather than later about those glasses with the prism. I appreciate you putting up with me. Look at verse 27. You see what the Lord says here? We've read this how many times? You know, reading through the book of John, he says, "My sheep," and then he makes three statements. What's the first statement that the Lord makes? "My sheep," what? "Hear my voice." You know, how many times have you been in a church service? Now listen to me. How many times have you been in a church service? The pastor's preaching, but all of a sudden, there's another voice you hear. You following what I'm saying? I'm not talking about an audible voice, but all of a sudden, the Lord is speaking. You know, I got to thinking about this. It was 2 weeks tonight that this happened. The Lord did something to my eyes personally. It's got my attention. We've talked about what he did. It's a challenge. It can even be a little bit painful. But he allowed it. As it were, he spoke and speak. Service, prepare him, speak. How many of you have trusted Christ as your Savior? Say amen. Amen. You claim to be sheep? My sheep hear. How many of you are listening to his voice? You got to admit that's a good question. Sometimes we come in and we're just, you know, we'll sneak our cell phone out and we'll just check out, you know, scores of games, you know, while preachers, that's not listening to Christ. And I'm not saying that I speak with the voice of Christ, but when we open up the Word of God and we start looking at what the Word of God says, the Lord is looking at us and says, you know what? My sheep hear my voice. And then secondly, he says what? I what? Does the Lord know you? Now stop and think. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. He knows you. But have you ever stopped to understand what that word know means? He knows everything about us, including our choices in this last week, our choices yesterday. Now, that might not seem like that big of a deal, but what's the third thing that he says? And a what? Do you know the commands of God? Did you follow him? See, this is the reality of the confident Christian life. And this is what Satan doesn't want you and I to know. And we've got to stop and ask ourselves. You know, again, last week, you know, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the lepers. Why sit here until we die? You know, we've got to do something. They took a risk. They knew the circumstance, and they realized, you know what? God was in it. Do we take a risk? Did you take a risk this last week for Christ? Folks, we don't do our quote-unquote thing for God when we're here on Sunday morning. We're challenged, as you'll see in a moment, we're challenged for Tuesday afternoon and Thursday morning and Saturday morning. We're going to be having some men come here, again, a little less than 2 weeks. In fact, this Saturday at 9 a.m., we have the big work day where we're going to be getting things, everything cleaned up. I am so looking forward to it. So looking forward to it. But we're going to have those men here. By God's grace, we want to be a testimony to them, give them a place where we're going to have some preaching like you can't believe. I mean, God's Word is going to be open. It's going to be awesome. But while we're here, not those 200 plus men, but while we're here, are we listening to the Word of God in its simplicity and asking us are these questions, my sheep hear my voice. Did I really listen to God? When I read James chapter 1 through 3, did I read James chapter 1 through 3? Or if you didn't, where did you read? And what did he say? I know them. Do I really live with the understanding that my God sees everything of me and they follow me? Where did the Lord take you this last week? You got to admit, these are things that we ought to meditate on. These are things that we ought to just stop and say, now wait a minute. I want to show you something real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 1, would you? Matthew chapter 1, just real quick. I'm not going to be able to finish this message this morning. I'm going to continue it next Sunday. But I want you to see something. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 5. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat who? David. Look at verse 16, Matthew 1. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Wow! Ruth is in there. Ruth was a Gentile, and she's not the only Gentile that's listed in that hereditary line of Christ. But there's Ruth. Now, I want you to go to the book of Ruth, please. Go to the book of Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. And look, if you would, please, at verse 1, excuse me, chapter 1. Ruth, with her sister-in-law, are about to leave their mother-in-law. The father-in-law died, the husbands died. Look what happened here. We're catching this in mid-situation. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah was going to stay, but was persuaded not just by her mother-in-law, but by something in her heart. I'm going back to my past. Verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, and you've read this how many times? Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. Now, we know, according to many of you, if not all of you, know the story of Ruth. That here came Boaz, and to make a long story short, Ruth wound up marrying Boaz, and because of that, wound up in the lineage for Christ, our Savior, the King of Kings. Why did I bring this up? Here's a reality that I believe that each of us grace embrace. This is it. We love the story of Ruth, chapter 4. In fact, in many areas, we like the good part of the stories. We like when people are at ease or all of a sudden something good happens to them and praise God, this is great. And we think of those people in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. But do you know, before Ruth got to Boaz, she had to embrace Naomi. And there was defeat there. Now stop and think about it. Listen, before Abraham saw the blessing of what he went through, he had to go up on the mount thinking he was going to slay his son. Moses, before he led the people out, wound up being thrust out. He fled and was in the wilderness 40 years before the Lord spoke to him. We think about the reality of the confident Christian life. We want to all of a sudden be right there. But you know, sometimes your eyesight goes weird. Sometimes you think maybe a friend turns on you. Sometimes there's difficulty you don't even like to think about. But God takes you through it. Because the confidence is in Him. Not you. The confidence is not in the situation, but in the Savior. And if we would think about that, it will help us not only read Hebrews differently and think about, say, Ruth differently, but maybe, just maybe, it will stir us in our hearts to think, why sit here till we die? Can I ask you a question? You do for Christ if you knew you could not fail? What would you do for Christ if you knew you could not fail? You know who doesn't want you to answer that? The wicked one. See, there's things that Satan doesn't want you to know. But by God's grace, you can know it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have a little too much to keep going, so we're going to pick this up again next week, because we're going to be looking at the purpose of the confident Christian life, and then what Satan desires to do to defeat it. But folks, can I leave you with this? There's a reality. Who wants to grasp it? Why sit we here until we die? Is God good? All the time? Oh, come on, let's get excited, folks. My neighbor is sitting here. He's going to give me a hard time when we get back. What are you talking about? Is God good? Amen. There's a reality. There's a reality. The same thing that took place with Ruth. She had the same faith, by the way, in the same God that Abraham had. Isaac, Jacob, same. But she was a lowly Gentile. Look how God works.